for the Rand Bill. Brethren, we have met to worship, and the Lord be with you, dear brother. The Lord our God, will you pray with all your power while we try to preach a word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Let us pray that holy manna may be showered all around.
Appreciate being here at the Ebenezer Association this second weekend in August 2017. I count it a great privilege. I feel that this is a place that I come where my brother ministered, and I feel a little bit closer to him, and I enjoy coming. And I appreciate Amen. How kind y'all been through me and to my brother through the many years.
Good to have you, brother.
As we attempt to go into God's Word, I desire an interest in your prayers that whatever I would say would be edifying to the church of true and living God. I want to just talk a minute or two about some verses and then go over the New Testament, but I want to talk to you just a few minutes about the first verse in Bible that we're all very familiar with. I've mentioned this with some of the preachers here. And we're all familiar with, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. One of the most powerful scriptures in all the Bible. A lack of fundamental understanding of this scripture goes to the heart of a very lack of a fundamental understanding of scriptures themselves. And I have to admit that I've come to appreciate over the last year or two this verse very much more. Because I want you to, in your mind's eye, just for a few minutes, go with me. What about before this verse? Before, in the beginning. Now we know in the beginning God created. Well, what was there before God created? Some people said, well, there's nothing. Well, don't be so narrow-minded. It was God. Now, the word God here is Elohim, I believe I'm pronouncing correctly, which is a plural noun with a singular verb, which is very unusual. And the reason we point out that it's a plural noun, because it wasn't just God singularly, it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now, how long has God been there? It's always been there. Now, that I cannot comprehend. You know, I don't know anyone that can. But God has always been God. Now, think about this a minute. How long has God loved you? He's always loved you. He didn't start in the beginning. He may have done some things then. But God always loved you. You know, God saw the end from the beginning. He saw the travail of his soul, and the Bible said he was satisfied. Now, when did God see that? I'm going to assume God's always known that. I don't know how an eternal God that knows everything, does everything, can be any less than that. So, you know, to me, there's great comfort to me to know that God has always loved me. Now, I want to point out this fact. This isn't original with me, but I understand it's a black preacher in Chicago said this. My wife heard him, so she gave it to me, and I'm going to give it to you. He said, there's 6 to 7 billion people on the earth. As the Bible says, and not a few. But out of 6 or 7 billion people, God chose you, you, you. He chose me. He chose all of us. Now think about it. There's 7 billion people on the earth right now. And God made choice of us individually. Now, he's made choice of us, and do we appreciate the choice that he made for us and in us, and what he has done to ensure our destiny? Do we appreciate that as we should? Now I'm not getting on to you. You know, it's like preaching to the choir. And some that didn't show up today need this sermon. But, you know, church is a body of baptized believers. But a church is something far beyond that. A church is a place that we come to meet as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I'm going to say that's a family. Well, we all got families, got mothers, got fathers, got brothers, got sisters. We got family. But the church family is supposed to be closer than your natural family. Amen. Now, very seldom does it rise to that level, degree of love one to the other. I dare say outside of our ranks, it's probably even less number. But this is a kind of unity when the New Testament said they was of one accord. Brother, I'm telling you, they was one accord. There was no division among them. They believed primarily in Jesus Christ and him crucified, and you couldn't shake them loose from them.
That's right.
They believed Jesus Christ did all the work. We did all the sinning. You couldn't shake them away from it. They believed our fundamental doctrines, and we believe today. They was unmovable. They understood. They saw. The apostles was eyewitness to Jesus Christ dying on the cross. The only one that didn't see him die on the cross was Paul, and he saw him in his resurrected body. And you know, they was eyewitness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, there's a few preachers on television I cut on every now and then. I heard one not long ago call himself an apostle. I'm sorry, just 2,000 years too late. Because I don't think he saw Jesus Christ. See, because the apostle says, we are eyewitnesses. We bear testimony. Now, if you go to a court of law and a man's going to be eyewitness, he had to see the event. He couldn't hear hearsay testimony. And they want the eyewitness. So we have got to be eyewitnesses. Now, there's none of us eyewitness. That's why when the apostolic age ended, there's no more apostles. When that age ended, the church was fully established. She had everything she needed, everything she ever would need. And listen, it wasn't just any old church. Now, I understand this is a primitive church. But it's primitive in the sense it's the original church. It's the mother church. Paul said the New Jerusalem, which is from above, which is the mother of us all. We're supposed to look on the church of God in that perspective. Amen. And it is the bride of Christ. You know, when a woman at her most beautiful, when she's a bride, when that husband down here waiting for that door to open and he sees that bride in that wedding dress. Well, you know, the Bible talks about the New Jerusalem, which came down from God out of heaven. It speaks of streets of gold. It speaks of pearly gates. You know, we sing about pearly gates. Yeah. That's talking about the New Testament church. You know, the apostles are these gemstones in that. The gates of the 12 tribes of Israel. It's a beautiful place. beyond description. The church of God is so beautiful. You know, I went in D.C. Now, we're not far from D.C., so maybe a lot of y'all been there, to the Church of Great Conception. It's a Catholic church. Big, beautiful building. Go inside, it's like one of these cathedrals you see over in Europe. And just the stuff that they have, it's beautiful. We're walking around in it, and my brother was with me. I looked up, and I said, Bill, I said, in one of the archways, real high, I said, what's that right yonder? He said, and this is what it was. Of course, I knew what it was before I asked. But I was so shocked. He says, it's a 12 signs of the zodiac. Now, you do understand that's as paganistic as it gets.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you don't know, maybe you're Aries or whatever. Everybody looks in the paper to see what their fortunes is today, depending on what month they're born, what sign they're born under. Signs of the zodiac. While they have a beautiful building, we have a beautiful church.
Right.
See, our building isn't the structure.
Right.
Our building is the heart and the mind and the souls of the children of God that believes that Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
In the beginning, God created. Now, the word created there is never used in human sense. Only God can create. Now, to make something out of nothing, no man has ever done.
Right.
The devil has never created any seed.
That's right.
Only God created. And in the beginning, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost said, let us make man in our own image. Well, if it's us, it had to be somebody in there besides just the Father or just the Son or just the Holy Ghost. It had to be 3-1 in the Godhead.
Amen.
But then we move over to the New Testament, and think on this one a little bit. Matthew 1:1. He says, how many of y'all can quote that one? Do you not think the first verse of the New Testament may be almost as important as the first verse of Scripture? The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The book of generations of Jesus Christ. Let me see if I can try this another way. The children of Jesus Christ. God's family. Now that's what I see when I read the generations of Jesus Christ. What does the New Testament tell us about? It tells about the family of God. It tells us how we become the family of God. It tells us that David is the seed. You know, in the book of Revelation, he said he looked for some. He said, let me go there and read it because I'm getting it off. He says, and I wept because, 5:4, he said, and I wept because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither look thereupon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loosen the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and on his 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain. Jesus was the root of David. Jesus was the descendant of Abraham. And notice that he's talking about the generation of Jesus Christ, yet he mentions 2 people before Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ, the Christ. Now, everybody may think Jesus, that the word Christ is like Dylan, Randy Dylan. Christ is not a name. It is a title. It means the Messiah. It's a one who, the Redeemer. There's many names that we could give to the word Christ, but it shows who Jesus was. And you know, whenever they came looking for Jesus, they went into the scriptures and said he would be born in the town of Bethlehem. They knew exactly where he was going to be. They knew exactly where the prophet said he'd be born. Now, when they came, the Bible teaches us that he wasn't going to be king, but he was born king.
Amen.
The king of Israel, the tribe of the line of Judah, he's the king of Israel, and yet Israel today is cut out of the natural church. Now, when I say Israel, I'm talking about national Israel, but spiritual Israel is who it's made of. So he's not a one who is an Israelite outwardly, but he's one who's inwardly an Israelite, circumcision of the heart. You know, it's we who believe that Jesus is the Christ, is the seed of Abraham. So we who stand upon these great principles and these great promises, we're incumbent, indebted to understand why we stand where we stand. You know, many of our young preachers today have no idea why we don't have Sunday school. I asked the deacon not long ago. He said, "Why?" Says, "Preachers spoke teaching." And they gave me two or three things. I said, the number one reason is it doesn't have biblical authority. That's the number one reason. Nowhere in the New Testament is the instructions that children are to be taught independently by the Church of God. Now, I say that because someone, you know, they can't grasp that. I said, "Okay, let's go to singing. Look at singing to me." Now, we say that our oracle faith said we take the Bible as the only rule of God to both faith and practice. If it ain't in the Bible, we don't practice it. You know, the Constitution, if the federal government is not given the authority to do something by the Constitution, it is automatically reserved to the states. And that's another thing, whether they follow it. I'm not questioning that, but that's how it's supposed to work. Well, lacking the authority of the New Testament, we do not have the right to do anything. But we take the Bible, both the Old and New Testament, and only God, both faith and practice. You guys said, "I got you now, Brother Randy." Said, "I can show you all over the place where singing is accompanied with musical instrument in the Old Testament." I said, "You sure can." But there was a change in the worship service. I said, "Show me chapter and verse in the New Testament." In other words, "Thus saith the Word of God." So what we do, how we act, how we treat each other is supposed to be fundamentally based upon the Word of God. Now, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Uh-oh. Jesus tells me to forgive. Paul said to forgive your brother as Jesus forgave you. Now, have you given that much thought?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus forgave you before you ever asked.
Right, absolutely.
But Jesus did say, if he asked, to forgive. But, you know, they're small things. You know, he prayed in the, what, quote unquote, some people call the law of prayer, that we forgive others as they forgive us. But, you know, think about what the Church of God, what does it truly mean to me individually? What does it truly mean to you individually? Do you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ like your mother and daddy, your brother and sister? Jesus said, except a man hate his father, his mother, his brother and sister. Do you think Jesus was teaching that we are to hate our father and mother? I don't think so. But I think that's comparative language.
Amen.
That we're to love God so much more. It's kind of like this verse of scripture. The glory of the Old Testament. You know, the law has glory. But the glory of the law was as it had no glory at all when it's compared
Amen.
With New Testament church. So our love for God should be as it doesn't have no love at all when compared with our love to God. You know, I can't get my home church to do this, so don't think I'm throwing this at you. But do you get to church on time? I got people come in 5 minutes till 11. Some come in 5 minutes after 11. I'll be up preaching. You know, is that how we're supposed to conduct ourselves? You know, and old Randy can't do nothing about any of you.
Some of them.
Can't do one thing. All I can do is make sure, and sometimes I have trouble getting that. I've been there, I've walked in a few times right at 10:30. But thank God, you know, I got to be bad shape, may not be there by 10:30. You know, I try to be there 20 minutes before time. You know, what is most important in the life? What is number one to you? I'm a big Alabama football fan. I hope we win a national championship. Ain't nothing. It's time next year, I'll be hoping we do it again. You know, last year we lost in the last second of the last ball game. You know who got to live with that? Not me. Them boys that lost that ball game, all the rest of their life they'll live with that. And that'd be important to them. I understand that. I've been there. But it's nothing. Nothing. Jesus Christ is all in all in everything. Let us give him all the praise, honor, and glory. If I said anything good, you used, if I missed a mark, lay that to the weakness of me and my flesh. May God bless you. Brother Hagin.
Pick the hymn.